This is the SML Podcast.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
This is the SML Podcast, episode 86, I think.
Numbers.
If I learned how to count right, which I didn't. But a special episode today. We have a featured guest on the show, and not one of my random friends who just show up and bullshit with us. We have, like, a real person on.
When was the last time we had that? I don't remember.
Was it?
Probably about a month or two.
Was it? No. No,
Pappy's random friend.
Pappy doesn't count. He's a random friend who just bullshits with us.
It's true. He's another random friend.
We have someone on Skype. We're not talking about Ian on the couch next to me. Yeah, we're talking to random people who the microphones can't pick up.
It's okay.
Until Zach proves us wrong. But anyway, person on Skype, mystery person, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are, what you do, and why we should care?
Well, I'm Corey Caldwell. I am the director and one of the producers on the new independent documentary film, The Player's Score. Also aforementioned Skype human. I guess notable fact, I guess I'm working on this movie, cool documentary on the personal and cultural impact of video game music, chiptune artists, remix artists, VGM cover bands, tributes, all that jazz, and all the awesome music.
Very nice. Now, for our listeners who don't know, what are video games?
Well, video games came around a long time ago.
Back in the
40s. I believe the first video game was drawn onto a cave with ink and dirt. And ever since then, they've gotten a little more advanced, slightly more advanced.
Nice. Nice.
You can find more.
The first game
on
in
there
existence
on...
was Advance Wars.
No, they were birds drawn onto cave walls with pigs on the other side. And you had
to use
your imagination.
There was like a really, 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 really long lag between like interacting with the painting and then the graphics catching up. So
they eventually you have to sit ended there up... and wait for the like the rocks to crack so that it would animate.
Yeah, it took 10,000 years to play a game of cave angry birds.
You're just watching the sun go up and down as the shadows kind of refresh the screen.
Ooh, Glanch Bombard.
Oh, my God.
So, tell us about this documentary. Besides
right,
what
so,
you already said. We have an hour to
well,
kill. Stretch it out.
All right. So this documentary is a project between me and my friend Keaton Slansky. He's my co-director and other producer. And every other job that I don't do, we pretty much are all the jobs.
All of the jobs.
We got together, and we love video games, and we love video game music. And we started to be introduced to the culture surrounding video game music in the form of video game cover bands. We met the drummer to the band Lonely Rolling Stars. And,
oh, I heard kinda, of that guy.
they clued us into the fact that there were groups of people that covered video game music, remixed it, got together, flew across the country to MAGFest, made tributes for their favorite composers, and we were like, this is a really cool community.
Hey, this is a really...
We pulled some savings together over a year, and what was that?
You
cut
out there
for
a
second. So I was filling dinner.
What did I cut out at?
I don't remember. You flew over.
Oh, yeah, so basically... we found out that there's all these people that love video game music and make video game music and have this little community connection to this niche culture. And we said, we got to showcase this. So we pulled together some savings over the course of a year. And then we just drove from Seattle down to L.A. and got as many interviews as we could. And we put together a trailer for the film and put it on Kickstarter. And so far, the response has been really, really cool. We met a lot of awesome people. Got some people associated with the project. Aaron Hansen, also known as Ego Raptor, will be narrating the film. And Jake Kaufman, composer for such games as Shovel Knight, Shantae, Red Faction Guerrilla.
Shantae.
Number of games. Also being a video game cover remix tribute artist himself. He's just a huge rock star. He's going to be composing the soundtrack for the film.
That is very awesome to hear. We are big fans of Jake on the show.
Shantae!
We could probably end up doing a documentary just on Jake with
you
the amount
could.
Of times
really
people
could.
Just not stop talking about how cool he is.
You should do like a mini bonus feature that's just a documentary on Jake Hoffman that just
we
has
could probably
people
have about
talking
an hour
him.
Of just like people saying his name.
Jake Kaufman.
What can I
Jake
say
Kaufman.
About Jake Kaufman?
Vert, Jake. Yeah, just take every mention from all the footage that you've filmed.
That
take
would be...
every mention of Jake Kaufman, Vert, and just splice them all together in one bonus feature.
It would take so much editing.
It'd be so worth it.
So much
editing. Oh, man.
It would be so worth it.
People would watch like 1 minute of the hour and a half of the length and be like, this was cool. And I'll just have to force them to watch through every mention of Jake Kaufman to make it worth it.
Speaking of
Ego Raptor
really as
like
well,
that idea.
obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of his animated stuff, but more recently I discovered the Angry Pepper Gaming review that he did.
Yep.
I have not seen that.
It's fantastic. Also, there Andrew WK did a Hot Pepper gaming review of Brick Breaker.
Oh, my God. If I'm guessing properly, it's somebody eats a hot pepper and then does a game review?
Yep.
Yes. Sounds complicated.
Yeah, it's
great.
Hysterical, actually. It's really funny.
I know at one point I did mention to Keaton the Hot Pepper Gaming Reviews, and I had the thought if we did a Hot Pepper commentary on the film,
oh
but then I realized
God.
That would be way too long to be eating hot peppers.
Oh, my Lord.
We'll do like a Hot Pepper trailer where we kind of pitch our movie with the Hot Peppers.
Hot Pepper Kickstarter video.
There we go. We'll have an alternate pitch.
There you go.
A hot pepper pitch.
Hot pepper pitch. Say that
That's
five
good.
Times fast.
Hot pepper pitch. Hot pepper pitch. Hot pepper pitch. Hot pepper pitch. Hot pepper pitch.
Pepper pitch.
Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch.
Yeah,
that's the good
see?
One.
See? Pepper pitch.
Well,
pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch.
Who are you calling
feel
a
like
bitch?
A beat coming on.
Yeah. Pepper pitch. 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 Pepper pitch.
Okay. Yeah, that got dumb quick.
Too bad. That's gonna be the fucking loop at the end of. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch. Pepper pitch.
Just 25 minutes of that at the end of the show.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Little did the listeners know, this is the next hour.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, guys. Pepper pitch, pepper pitch, pepper pitch, pepper.
There was something that I said the other day that was similar to that, and I tried saying, oh, it was, I'm not, you know what? I'm not even going to attempt it, because it was really fucking, it was rough. It was really, really rough.
Rough as in you didn't do it well, or rough as in our audience shouldn't hear it because we'll get in trouble?
Both.
Say it.
No. I refuse. Now you have to use your imagination.
Oh, I don't know how.
It might be worse.
No.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Why did he say
now you're in
times?
Suspense, and I'm never going to tell you.
I'll just protest the show. I'm not going to continue with the show until you tell us.
I will. So... That's why there's two of us.
Split apart indefinitely.
That's why there's two of us.
No, I'm not talking.
So
I'm just gonna watch Ian play Warriors instead.
So how about those Steelers?
Oh, you fucker! Oh my God! All I care about is that the Patriots got their asses beat.
It was the Buccaneers.
I know. To the friggin' Bucks. Video games.
Video games.
Hey, it's Madden 15 related.
There you go. There you go.
I'm a Steelers fan, so the fact that they lost to the goddamn Bucks of all teams, which is
my
Chris's
only win.
Team,
my only win.
And that's how the Steelers are. They lose the games they should never ever lose.
That's what you get.
And then they'll beat, like, I don't know, I don't know who they're playing.
The 1987 All-Star team.
Yes. In their walkers and everything.
I don't know.
Video games.
The All-Madden team from 95.
It's always funny when this would be like the second time I've had like a long conversation where the sports and video games went in between and crossfaded between each other. And at one point, I remember terminology, football terminology, and League of Legends terminology started to be using interchangeably, and I eventually had no idea whether or not people were talking about sports or video games.
Oh God!
So
that's that happens often.
Our early shows had plenty of league talk. Not really anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't like league.
You grew out of it.
I only played it because that's what everybody else was playing that my friend, like my PC gaming friends, they were like, oh my God, League, it's so good. We should play League. It's free and blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's not fun. Games are supposed to be fun.
Now you just got to get yourself an X-Bone and grab Forza into Burbler.
I'm working on it.
And then you can play with friends who don't play shitty games like League.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I was never able to get into League. I remember the first time I played it, it got so hyped up for me, like, oh, it's so fun. Everybody's playing it. You just got to play it. It's so fun. And I got on and I played my first game, and just the exactly what you expect would happen is I wasn't very good, and everybody hated me. Yeah. And you just get that, just like that onslaught of horrible 15-year-old just meanness just wash over you.
The best way that I could describe League of Legends... The first time you go to play a League of Legends game is the exact same way that somebody would essentially try and put a baby in a car and be like, baby, just drive the car. Just baby, just drive the car. Why aren't you driving the car? Just baby, drive the car.
Come on, you stupid baby.
It's like having a baby drive a car, but it's a minivan. And it's filled with really, really angry people who don't know that it's a baby.
Yeah.
It's like, filled just with rattlesnakes.
Drive the car. They're all late for work, and it's a carpool.
They're in a stick shift, you stupid asshole, baby.
Drive the car. Like, everybody expects you to know exactly what
to do. Can you believe babies these days don't even know how to drive?
I mean, come on, babies.
Fucking bastards. So.
Stupid babies.
So, have you only been to one MAGFest then?
Me and Keaton have never been to MAGFest. We haven't been able to afford the flight from Seattle, so. That's a big part of the Kickstarter.
Hide in A-Rival's luggage.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Or Norg. Yeah, I'm sure Norg hauls a lot of audio gear with him.
Yeah, he really does.
Imagine his surprise when it's just us and he gets there.
You empty out his base cabinet and he's just like, here I am.
Where the hell's my gear? Oh. Hey. On a runway somewhere.
I hope
you don't want mine, but it's all our film equipment and you don't have any musical equipment. Would you like to be interviewed?
Well, I guess since I'm here.
Yeah, why not?
I guess.
So, January, I guess you'll be at MAGFest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fingers crossed that our Kickstarter succeeds and we're able to get out there. We're gonna try our hardest if worst comes to worst to get out there anyways. But
you better.
We're kind of apprehensive about like our very first MAGFest also being trying to get as many interviews as possible. We hear it's pretty hectic.
Let me put it this way. The first MAGFest that I went to, I tried pimping my CD the entire time, and I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes, I literally sat at a merch table.
Yeah, at like Jason's table,
like the whole freaking time.
Yeah, at the Scarlet Moon table.
Yeah, like the whole time. I was at the Scarlet Moon
table.
Yes, I had a blast, and awesome. I watched
A
Rival destroy
like...
at fucking Street Fighter.
Nice,
he's really good.
And hey, if you're looking for interviews, all you have to do is come to my room.
And you'll see everybody.
Since we have one of the party rooms at MAGFest, hopefully Pappy still gets that room. And you can just interview people who come to the party. Just take them off to a side room, put the Do Not Disturb on there, give as many handies as you need to.
All the handies.
Yeah, all the handies. And then interview them after the handies.
During the handies.
And wash down the shame with all the alcohol.
True. We do hear that there's that's the, like the couple of things we've heard about MAGFest is like the copious alcohol.
And
we're wondering how it might affect the interviews. We think it might be
better?
A good thing sometimes.
It'll be great.
Probably lead to really good interviews.
Yeah, we're excited. We think we may end up just having to stay awake for 4 days straight.
That's how it normally goes.
Yeah, especially if it's your first MAGFest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep much my first MAGFest.
Nobody does.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can figure out how to get there for January. I want to bring Jordan. Like, my goal is not only do I want to try and get there, but I want to bring Jordan, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to see. And I might try and bring other people that have never been as well. So I'm going to try and grow the numbers.
Good times.
Hopefully.
Good times.
Hopefully. Grow the numbers. I like to grow numbers.
That sounds dirty.
You know those are illegal.
No, only in Colorado. I'm opening a number dispensary in Colorado.
Oh, God. Well, this took a weird turn.
Numbers are plants. It's not a drug.
Oh, boy.
God created numbers.
God created numbers. It is not manufactured in a lab.
Numbers are all natural. You can find them in any calculator.
Yep.
Exactly.
Sometimes they're real. Sometimes they're integers. Yep. Sometimes they're fractional.
Sometimes they're imaginary.
Sometimes they're imaginary.
And sometimes they never end, like pie. I wish pie never ended. Peanut butter pie.
Video game.
I'm so
video
hungry.
Game.
I'm so. I'm seriously like. I'm running off of like absolute fumes, so it's going to be really tough for me to stay on topic.
Yeah, we're a show that doesn't stay on topic to begin with,
and it's going to be even worse this time.
But that's why you're here, to give us something to talk about.
I know. So what are
so, your
what
movie?
What are some of the other people that you've already got on board to interview?
Okay, so, well, we have interviewed a big number of people, but some of the people that were sort of planned ahead of the time to go to an interview are pretty much like all the bands that we knew of, and then more bands that we were learning about, like Descendants of Edric. We knew we were going to interview the Lonely Rolling Stars, anyone from Metroid Mental or Arm Cannon. Pretty much everyone who shows up. If they're at MAGFest, they have a reason to be there, so we'll talk to them. And then composers on board, we've got a number of Japanese composers, and we're getting in contact with more right now. We have Hiroki Kakuda, Hitoshi Sakimoto.
You should give games that these guys have composed.
Yeah, most people are going to be like,
what are these names?
So, Asian guy number
Hitoshi
one.
Sakimoto
Asian
did the soundtrack for Final Fantasy Tactics.
Very good.
We've got Marty O'Donnell, who did Halo and Destiny. So
never heard of him.
I'm sure people are excited. I'm sure no one's heard of him. A number of composers that we've already interviewed: Jake Kaufman, obviously, for Shovel Knight, and then we've got Austin Winery, Journey. So we got a lot of composers. We got definitely a good number of chiptune artists, like Arrival, Thousand Needles. Crash Faster. So it's a pretty extensive list, actually. We sat down and looked at all the people that we are interviewing and plan on interviewing, and we were just like, wow, editing this is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Next thing I was actually going to ask is, so as far as the direction of the movie, is it going to be more like a documentary of like, here's where it was and what it's become, and here's where it is now? Or is it just kind of be more of like a informational, like how it came to, like what's going to be the focus?
Well, it's we'd like to trace how video game music has created a community in itself. So kind of learning about how video game music affected these communities, what were the things that came about to sort of foster them. So we're going to talk about how the changing on music distribution affects these video game cover bands so that they can popularize themselves. The internet communities like OC Remix and Dwelling of Duels that have come about to foster the remix communities. The technology and how it evolved and how that sort of created chiptune music and those artists. So it's kind of basically video game starts as the initial part. And then as video games evolves and goes through time and changes, so we're going through chiptune, we're going through, then we get to these orchestral soundtracks. That in itself has affected all these different communities. So at the chiptune point, we branch off and we have the chiptune community, these video game cover bands, obviously during that classic video game era. Then we go into these online remix communities. And then it pretty much all coincides with our stories of people being able to interact with these composers that inspired them and coming together at live events like MAGFest or Rockage, and sort of being able to share in this exciting obsession with video game music.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you're going to have a little bit of a section on how distribution has really kind of made an effect on stuff, because like I was always curious. Like I just started getting into the remix community last year. I've been a musician for a very long time, but mostly like a lot of like conventional, I guess conventional, like bar cover band kind of things, and then some original bands that have had a little bit of notoriety. But like the way that the music industry in itself has kind of taken this little bit of a turn, it made me once I got exposed to the video game remix community through Joe, I was just like, holy shit, people actually care about the music itself. And it made me actually become interested in it just because it was an outlet for music that people actually genuinely care about, which you don't really find that often anymore.
That's kind of one of the big things that we thought was really, really cool, is just people putting in the same, or even maybe more, depending on, you know, how intense the arrangements are, putting so much effort into these video game cover albums, and then, you know, putting them out there for free or pay what you want, or just distributing them to everyone that they can because they just really care about it and they're not in it for the money. Mm-hmm. And then sort of how that plays into it. We talk about the big copyright question, you know. Should people be worried? Are people worried? We talk about that with a lot of these artists, and it's really interesting how that whole plays into it, because all these bands are essentially just musical love letters to the games companies and composers and developers. But some of them still have to worry about, you know, is my music going to be taken down? So yeah. there certainly is a lot more to it than you know, just covering video game music. And so it's been really cool that we've been able to talk to people and have them share their stories regarding all of that.
Some people you could talk to about that in terms of going about getting licensing and the pros and cons of licensing tour, or as opposed to just doing it without licenses. Do you know who Mustin is?
Yeah, actually, I was talking to him on Twitter, and we're still seeing if we can figure out a way to interview him. I'm not sure if he's still coming to MAGFest, but
yeah, if he's there, he's definitely someone you should get in touch with. Them and just him and just the band, the 1UPS in general, all based out of Arkansas.
Yeah,
yeah, they've been in the game for a very long time.
Yeah, we can't wait to talk to them. We're planning on interviewing them.
Nice, very nice.
It's funny, when I got into it, I was just like, yeah, fuck it, I don't care. If they come after me, I'll just be like, all right, sorry, I'll take it down. I'm like, I'm just one little dude. Like, what are they really going to do to me? Like, you know.
They'll punch you in the taint.
Whatever. If they come after me and they try and sue me, let them try and get money out of me because I don't have any. So, whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, people aren't really making money off of it, so there's not really money to sue out of anybody.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, though, I mean, honestly, when I the whole reason why I even put that first CD together was because I really wanted to go to MAGFest.
Yeah.
And Joe was just like, well, you're a musician, put together a cover album. I'm like, people actually like want that? He's like, yeah, dude, it's fucking, there's a huge community about it. And that's kind of how I got my start with it. But I put the CD together, and I literally, like, I burnt them all myself. I put them in paper sleeves and was just like, yeah, here's a CD. And I did a pay what you want, and I was able to cover, like, my entire MAGFest trip. Like, my food,
wow,
my gas, the hotel, like, my badge, everything.
It doesn't hurt that 60% of Lonely Rolling Stars was on your CD with you.
Yeah.
Now down to 40% since Grant left the band.
That's true. But, Yeah, and that's because they're cool and they like me and we're friends.
And because of me
and because
helping.
Of Joe. Yeah. It's all because of Joe, actually.
Since none of them knew you.
It was like, oh, you do a podcast with Joe? Okay, yeah, we'll be on your CD.
Pretty much.
Whatever. That's how I got paid.
I'm one of those guys who's been in like the OCR scene for like 15 years.
Something like that.
And I'm not a musician myself. I just know everyone. Not too many of the new people. I'm a lot more.
I just
more,
like to hang out here.
Yeah. Well, I have two songs on OCR, and that's only because I did vocals on them. And one of them is still considered like one of the most hated songs on the site, which makes
really?
Me incredibly happy. Yeah.
Wow.
Check out the song Everclear Hangover 4.
Four.
Got
yes.
It.
Because it was a remix for Final Fantasy IV. So we figure it was Everclear Hangover 4.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty awesome. I love it so much.
It's entertaining, and that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
so,
that and Da Black Market from the Earthbound Remix Project.
It's racist.
Yes. I still love when people tell me that's their favorite OCR project when it's not an OCR project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Have you heard of Bound Together, the Earthbound project?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
Awesome. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm the one.
That's actually been a funny thing that kind of keeps happening is we'll be talking to someone and realize that we may have already been either like, oh, you need to talk to this person, and they might have used like a username or something other than that, and then we end up talking to them or coming into contact with them because we're pursuing all this, and then
you're like, oh yeah, that was me.
It's really crazy how connected everybody is.
Yeah,
I think we've made like a 6 degrees of Jake Kaufman joke a million times.
Oh god. Well, I'm one
it ends
degree
up being like
from
one
him.
Degree for everybody because he just knows everybody and everyone knows everybody.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
pretty
one,
cool.
I'm one degree from him.
I'm two.
I've known him since Mag 1, personally, and then I knew him online before that. God, I can't believe
nice.
How long I've known some of these people.
Way
yeah.
longer than you've known me.
Yeah. You're what, like 2 years now?
2 years, maybe. Yeah.
And like, Ale Sean is like 15.
Goddamn.
I am so old.
Oh, I am God. Degree to Ale Sean.
Yeah. MAGFest 1, when I went to MAGFest 1 and I met Ale Sean, it started because I was sitting in the lobby chatting with Mustin, and May's dude walked up and we started chatting, and then someone walked up and was like, hey, we're going across the street to KFC, do you guys want to come with us? And I'm like, oh my god, like, that's Vert and that's Ale Sean, and they're asking me to go with them? Oh, I was fanboying out. And I remember sitting down to eat. And my then-girlfriend, Sarah, forgot to grab a fork. So Sean got up and got her a fork. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Ale Sean just got my girlfriend a fork. At KFC, at MAGFest. Like, oh,
Ale
my
Sean
God.
Ale Sean just forked your girlfriend.
I was the biggest Ale Sean fan back then. But then once you crash at his house and his cat jumps on your face, the whole fanboy thing kind of goes away. And you're just like, yeah, that's Sean.
Joe Cam, if you do not know, also, Joe Cam is one of the elusive lumberjacks.
Yes.
Elusive lumberjacks.
Yes.
He is.
It is one of the groups of MAGFest attendees. I think we're down to 14 of us now who have been to every single MAGFest.
The elusive lumberjacks. This
yep.
is like some kind of like secret Illuminati MAGFest thing, right?
It kind of is.
It's sort of, yeah.
Yeah, we have our own
nice.
Private Facebook group.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's official.
Yeah.
When it's Facebook official.
And there's
That's
only
when you
one.
You know you're an official Illuminati cult. You have yeah. a private Facebook group.
Yeah.
And there's one guy who's not on the Facebook group because he doesn't believe in Facebook, and that's the guy sitting
the
next
guy
to
sitting
me,
on the couch right next
playing
to
playing Warriors Orochi 3.
Fuck your couch.
Yes. Who just screamed fuck our couch.
I don't know if that was comfortable. So, I don't know.
I don't think that'd be comfortable.
Fucking your couch?
Yeah.
It is a very comfy couch.
Yeah. I just don't know how comfy it would be, like, finding somewhere to stick your wiener.
I guess, like, under, like, the armrest.
Yeah. I guess.
Or in between, yeah, in between the
yeah,
cushions.
In between if you're like laying down on it, but there's wood there, so it might get kind of
splintered.
I don't know.
I don't know.
The microphones still aren't picking him up, and he's still talking to us.
You would literally have to go like this, and it's still probably
like right to his mouth, like yeah. Like.
Hey, baby, what's up?
Okay, that's enough of him.
Perfect.
So yeah, video games.
Yeah,
video games.
So what else would you like to tell us about your movie before we go back to talking about fucking couches?
Yeah, I guess that's a thing.
I don't know. It's. I think the number one thing that we've been telling everyone is just like a big thank you to everyone who's even been interested in this project or thought it was cool. When we started off, we were kind of aware of the video game music scene, but we weren't like a direct part of it. And we just feel so happy that everyone's been just so open to two random guys from Seattle coming into their homes with cameras to have them tell funny stories from MAGFest or making music or about their favorite video game music. And it's just been a really, really awesome experience. So every time I talk about the movie, I just put out like a thank you to everyone who's helped us and let us stay at their place or let us into their home to interview them or directed us to someone else or helped us out. We've gotten so much help from everybody to make it this far, and it's just been a really amazing experience.
Nice.
You kind of really feel the community part of it. I mean, it's really like just, I mean, now we've got some other people assisting us on the team, but, you know, start off is just me and my friend were like, let's start this project and, you know, hope that there's enough people out there that they would want to watch it. And then having people go, this is so awesome, we got to make this happen. It makes us feel really, really awesome and that we're kind of a part of a bigger thing making this movie. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's one thing I could say is that we have a really, really solid community.
It's awesome.
Like
it's,
even MAGFest, you're not going to see friends. You're going to see family.
Yeah, dude, I've only been to two MAGFests now. And
well, one and a half.
I've been to one and a half MAGFests. And it's by far I've been a part of a bunch of different groups and scenes and what have you, and nothing compares to the VGM scene.
Yeah,
it's fucking awesome.
People think I'm exaggerating or joking when I say it's like a family, but I can just talk about my wedding where I had more friends that I know through MAGFest or through the video game scene. I had more friends than family there. I had family an hour away who said they couldn't make it, and I had a friend fly in from the Netherlands to be there for me. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. Remixer Diggy Diss, actually. I've known him a very long time. He's come to America a handful of times, and he flew in from Holland to be at my wedding.
That's amazing.
The one-ups played my wedding. We didn't have a DJ. We got the one-ups.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dale North came in. The guys from X-Strike up in New York, they came down. It's awesome. Just I had more friends there than family, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. And when you have your grandparents dancing to the Tetris theme, that's fun.
That's probably way more entertaining than getting a stupid DJ.
Yeah,
or a really bad bar cover band.
Yeah,
but I had to do that on Saturday. Fuck my life.
But yeah, the dollar dance where you dance with the bride, you know, you pay a dollar, dance with the bride, and then get your cake. It was the Tetris theme for like 15
for
minutes,
like an hour,
and it just kept getting faster and faster and faster. And it was awesome. The first dance, me and Ashley, our first dance was Guitaru Man, the legendary theme from Guitaru Man. It was awesome. It was people who have no idea what video games are like, that music was wonderful. And you didn't
we've
have to do
some,
the electric
we've got
slide.
Some quotes in the,
right?
We got some quotes in the movie just like that. we were talking to the Reno Video Game Orchestra, and so there's all these people, and they'll cover video game music for people, and they'll be like, oh, this is so great, I love classical music, and they'll just be like, that's from Skyward Sword. What's that?
Yeah, so, that's awesome. Music is cool. Awesome music, no matter where it came from.
Truth. Unless
it came from the radio today, then it's guaranteed to be horrible.
unless you're Justin Bieber, or I don't know,
or Ethereal Collapse.
Yeah, that band sucks balls. They're so bad. That was one of the worst. That was one of the worst bands I've ever heard in my entire life. That was one of the bands that I was in. we were on Rock Band and shit.
Yeah, good times.
I think when people talk about like the worst band they've ever heard, I have a weird thing where it's like the worst band I'd ever heard, I wasn't even sure if it was really a band, because I had some friends drag me out to a weird hipster noise group thing that happened, and there was in the basement of an alternative library, and they rolled around on the ground putting like noise through loop pedals and stuff, and that was like, it would be the worst band I'd ever heard, but I'm not sure if they were a band or if maybe somebody accidentally let them in or something.
This actually sounds pretty amazing.
It sounds pretty terrible, actually.
Good description.
I've seen acts like that, and they are not fun.
Did they have a drum circle?
No. It's like, I know exactly what he means. Like, literally, like, two or three people with, like, loop pedals and, like, old synths that they made out of fucking coffee cans and, like, like really shitty.
The Folgers synth.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I took this really old, like, Moog, and then I ran it through my old Fisher-Price tape player, and then I just housed it. I housed it inside of this Pringles can,
and I control all of it with a theremin.
Yeah, he's like, it's revolutionary, and it just gives me such an amazing sound. And then when you hear it, it's like,
this like somebody screaming through like it's a like a megaphone with the front sawed off, and then they've just shoved like a regular microphone into it and duct taped around it.
Right. That's like, well, I will say I have seen some really interesting stuff in that kind of regard that actually sounded half decent. Like Mike Patton actually has like a painter's mask, like a gas mask kind of thing. And he has a microphone like implanted into the side of it, and it sounds fucking awesome.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Video games.
Oh, my Lord. But yeah, if you're at MAGFest, you could always interview us.
Oh, yes.
Definitely, guys.
We're a riot.
That's another important thing that we're trying to do with this documentary, because, you know, it's really something that anybody can talk about, because everybody plays video games and everyone has these experiences, you know, and if you know of or are a part of the video game community, you're just as much a part of it as anybody else. So we're talking to, you know, people want to be interviewed and, you know, they've never made music before, or they just want to talk about MAGFest or anything like that. And, you know, we just want everybody to be able to share any stories that they want in this film, because it is like a community project. So you guys have like any stories, like I'm taking notes here on things to ask you. See you at MAGFest. Like, definitely going to bring up the wedding.
Yes.
But like, yes. It's, I mean, that's really just what it's about. You know, everybody has that kind of personal experience, and it all emanates from the same source, so that's the story there. So,
absolutely,
it doesn't hurt that like one of the first music things I was involved with was doing the ending credits theme for the X-Strike movie, River City Rumble. And they extended the credits just to fit our song because it was so long.
That's awesome.
I jokingly with my friend Chris Serrani, who goes by Flick, we decided we would try being horrible white boy rappers as a joke. And it eventually got to the point where X-Strike asked us if we would try to organize something for the end credits of the movie. So we had Posu Yan do the music, and then Chris, myself, did verses for it. And we also got Roger Matthews, Shale Riley, A-Rival, Matt Pollard to just all rap about River City Ransom, and that is their music for the end credits theme.
Nice.
It was insane, and I've done a handful since then in my horrible white boy rapping style. A number from Earthbound, including one Mustin put together a little EP to try and sell and get some money to afford an eye exam and contacts and glasses, and he called it Vision Quest. But
that's awesome.
He did an Earthbound beat for Flick and I, and without him knowing, like, we recorded a song about me at a party, like one of the One Up Studios barbecues that they would throw, getting drunk and hooking up with Mustin. And like, it starts off where it sounds, I'm trying to like hook up with this girl, and then the line, "I think I'm going gay for you tonight," hits. and then it all makes a bit more sense, and Flick is trying to convince me that if I'm going to go gay, to go gay for Flick instead
of Mustin.
Yeah. So yeah, I do stupid shit.
Dude, I think what's really funny too about
set to
like
Earthbound music.
I think what's really funny is the fact that like you can have like some of these like EPs or CDs that are just like, hey man, I really want to afford this. Like, here's some music, help me figure this out.
Yeah, and like you and Grant.
Yeah, and everybody's like, that's cool. Like, they're not like, I don't feel exploited at all. Like, I get to get music out of it, and
I get
can help
music,
you out. Like,
and you get yourself an X-Bone.
Right. That's why me and Grant, we haven't really messaged back and forth since the podcast about
it. You really should.
But me and Grant, we were contemplating putting together a CD called Buy Bros Bones, where it's literally just me and him do a split CD, and all of the proceeds go to me and him buying Xbox One so we could play together.
That's genius. That's great.
It's got to happen. There's still time before MAG in January.
We may have to do that.
Do it. Yeah. Not may. You guys have to do it. You talked about it on the show. That means it's got to happen.
Because I do technically have two songs that I could put
on
it
already.
That's
internet law.
Internet law?
Yeah.
If it's on the internet, it's truth?
Yes. So you've already talked about it. So
fuck.
It has to be true. That's why I got all that money from Nigeria.
Oh, because you're that prince.
Yeah. Dude, he's a cool guy.
He is a cool guy.
Yeah.
It dude, I don't understand why nobody ever takes him up on his offer.
I know.
He's so legit. Like,
he's just asking for your help, and he's going to give you money for helping him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still waiting on the check to clear. I don't have any doubts that it will. It's only been a couple of months. It should be fine, right?
Nah, he's good. Well, I mean, it's got to go through how many different fucking channels. Like, I'm like, they got to figure out, like, whatever the transfer rate from Nigerian to U.S. dollars is.
Yeah, I mean,
a conversion rate or whatever.
There's no reason at all to worry. I mean,
nah, you'll be fine.
Totally legit.
It'd be cool. Video games.
Video games.
Video games. Hey, you know, like, I mean, we're pretty optimistic about the Kickstarter campaign. Obviously, we're like asking everyone to do as much as they can and get the word out. But worst comes to worst, maybe we'll put out a strange VGM album for both of us who are not musical.
There you go.
There you go.
I swear to God, every time you talk about something, I'm like, ask about the Kickstarter, ask about the Kickstarter. And then we get sidetracked to hell and back. So I'm going to ask you about the Kickstarter. Tell us about the Kickstarter. See how good I did there?
So our Kickstarter campaign, we have our proof of concept trailer, which we've got there. We talk about all of the composers we have on the project, and we've got some cool rewards for people who pledge.
Do tell.
So basically, you can get your lowest level internet karma get updates type of deal, but then you get up to upper levels, you get digital OST from Jake Kaufman and all the music made for the campaign, which is really cool because what we are offering at higher tiers is that you can donate a lot of money and get a band like Random Encounter to cover your favorite video game song, and that those songs will of course be included for people who pay for the digital OST. You'll also get those cool cover songs no matter what they are. We're definitely interested to see in what people who've chosen that tier picked, and we've got some cool t-shirts, we've got Blu-ray edition, we've got digital download and stream of the film, we've got flash drives that are shaped like Atari joysticks that have the extras and cool stuff and the film
on them.
I saw
that one and I kind of wanted that one.
Shaped like flashlights.
that was the one that I was eyeballing.
So there's lots of cool stuff. T-shirt is really cool. I urge everyone to check out the T-shirt. I'm really happy with the T-shirt design. So,
and if you're looking on how to check out the Kickstarter, check either, I don't know where you're looking at this, but either the summary on either Bleeding Cool, or if Zach posts it, save continue, since there's no guarantee with that one anymore. Or if you're on YouTube or Tumblr or iTunes, we will have a link somewhere for you to click on and check out their Kickstarter.
How much do I have to pledge so that I could force you to play one of my songs in it?
One of your songs in the movie?
Yeah, one of the video game remixes that I did.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
You guys didn't think your pledges through.
Dude, you're doing it wrong. You have to be like, I'll sell you one of my songs to play in.
No. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, true.
Let's be honest.
True.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. True. So how's progress going on the Kickstarter? How much time is left? What's your goal? What are you at?
Okay, so our goal for the film, for us to, our first goal is basically to get us to MAGFest, to get us to New York, to finish the post-production, to do all that, is 24,000. And we're about over halfway. I think we're just about 60% right now.
Nice.
Today is our ninth day, we have 9 days left, basically. So we're kind of in that home stretch that we're hitting right now.
So next week is the home stretch, huh?
Yeah. So we're nearing the end of it, but got our fingers crossed. We know everybody's out there sharing it and tweeting it. So, if our next stretch goal after that is if we get to 28,000, we'll fly to Japan. If we only hit our goal, we'll still be conducting interviews with these with the Japanese composers we have on board, but we won't be able to do them in person. We'll kind of coordinate otherwise, but so that's our goal at 24,000. It's been going really well. When we first started it, we were like, there's going to be like $100 at the end of the
year. You cut
and
out
it just
again.
Kind of like spiked like crazy. We got a couple. I don't know where I was at. So when we first started our Kickstarter, we were kind of worried. We've never run a Kickstarter campaign before. We didn't know, you know, if anybody wants to see this movie. And we put the Kickstarter up, and we were expecting maybe like $100 or something to come in over the week, because no one had known about it at the time. But then it spiked up like crazy. We got like a couple $1,000s in the first week, and it was just really awesome. So. We've never run a Kickstarter before, so it's a new experience for us, but we're learning a lot, and we're really thankful for everyone else out there supporting us.
I'll be extremely, extremely upset if you guys don't hit it.
Yeah, you're already at 60%, and you have over a week to go. I think you guys got this, especially because the last few days are where it really jumps up.
Yeah, because everybody's I really want to see this happen. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's what we've heard. That's the like turning point is those last like 5-7 days or so. So
shit.
As we approach, we got our fingers crossed.
I hope so. I really, really hope so.
Indeed.
Yeah. So because we are a podcast that talks about video games normally, is there anything that you've been playing recently?
Oh, let's see. I haven't had a lot of time to play games when making this movie, but I have been able to sit down and play the game Ho Hokum. I saw that because I've been now following all these people who video game soundtracks and art soundtrack. I thought it was cool. Played that game, downloaded it from the PlayStation Store, and that is just a beautiful, great, time-wasting game. So it's not like – it's probably like – a little more casual, but I really enjoyed it. It's like very colorful. You play as this abstract like scarf thing, and you fly around these weird artsy worlds, and you just fly around, and things happen. And it's kind of there's kind of like puzzles in it, but there's nothing that is explained. So sometimes I'll just play that and go fall asleep while I'm playing the game because it's like a really soothing game. Nice. Otherwise, gotten to play a little bit of Transistor. That game is really fun. Let's see. Oh, I actually have been just in the past few months, I've discovered emulators. I mean, I was aware of them, but I never actually tried them. So I've been playing Super Mario 64 on my phone, which is just, it's so surreal just to be able to play it on my phone. But it's been pretty cool. When I went off to college, I didn't take my N64 with me. But now I have one in my phone, oddly enough.
Nice.
You have one in your phone. Your phone is not acting as one. You actually have a full Nintendo 64 in your phone.
Yeah, just crammed in.
I have a really big phone.
I was going to say, I was unaware that they already made the Galaxy Note 500.
Oh, God.
Because it's the size of like a
plasma
sewer
TV. Yeah.
Huge. It's like a briefcase.
It's like we're gonna regress back to like the 80s where cell phones, you had to carry like this gigantic backpack full of shit. Like,
yeah, I've some interesting games. I remember hearing about the Wonder Swan a long time ago and thinking, that's so cool. There are these games that I'll never be able to play because I'll never have a Wonder Swan here in the U.S. And so I was like, oh, I really want to play these. And I was recently, now discovering emulators, I got a Wonder Swan emulator and played some Wonder Swan games, and they were terrible. They were just not as good as my mind as imagining a game I can't play could be. They were just bad, all of them. Every single game I played. Notably bad was I think it's Puzzle Fighter. It's like not Puzzle Fighter. It's like Tiny Street Fighter with little cute Street Fighter people, and it's really bad.
Oh, God.
The controls are bad. The music's bad.
I am sad we never got the Wonder Swan over here, though.
What was that?
I said I am sad that we never got the Wonder Swan in America. I know Squaresoft supported that one, and I think they had Final Fantasy ported, maybe a handful of them.
Yeah, they did.
We had to wait until Square and Nintendo made up and hooked up on the Game Boy again.
Speaking of bad games, I've been waiting all day to tell you about this, Joe.
All right, let's hear it.
So, to work in what I've been playing, I'm going to start with this. While I was working at the Scranton store today,
okay,
I was looking through a bunch of the back stock of just stuff that had to get priced to be put out, and I'm going through DS games, okay? And I'm going to tell you the name of this game, because I'm pretty sure you haven't played it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to tell you the name of this game, and I want you to describe to me what you think the game is like.
Okay.
Okay. The name of the game, and I'll take it in three parts. The name of the game is Little Red Riding Hood. Second part, Zombie. Third part, Barbecue.
Have not played it, but I have heard of it.
Little Red Riding Hood, zombie barbecue.
As soon as you said Little Red Riding Hood, I knew what you were talking about.
Okay, so what?
Okay, I've never heard of it, so I should guess.
What do you think the game is like?
Little Red Riding Hood, zombie barbecue.
Correct.
Okay. I don't know. Is this like a combination of Cooking Mama and Plants vs. Zombies? I have no idea.
I really like that answer.
I like the answer. I like the answer. Joe?
Give us the details, Chris.
You have to guess, Joe.
I'm trying to remember what it was like, because...
I don't. If you kind of have an idea, then I don't want you to answer.
I do kind of have an idea.
Okay, but. So I put the game in. I get to the first screen, and it immediately takes me to a tutorial. Okay.
Standard fare so far.
Standard fare. I was able to select one of two characters, Little Red Riding Hood, or a non-descriptive, very generic, blue ninja looking guy. now this guy, I would to try and describe how he looked, take Billy from Double Dragon and mix him with Ryu from Ninja Gaiden and just mashed them two together. So like
amazing.
Blonde
so far.
Blonde-haired, blue eyes, blue jumpsuit, but a ninja.
Yes.
Okay. I get dropped into the game. All right.
Is that who you picked?
That is obviously who I picked. I was not going to be Little Red Riding Hood. And the first line of script is, God damn it.
Nice.
So
good
I was,
start.
So I was already excited. So it says, God damn it, I need to find Little Red Riding Hood. So I get dropped into the game, and they take me right to the tutorial. And it's funny enough that you should mention Plants vs. Zombies, because it kind of reminded me of a Plants vs. Zombies, sort of. On the bottom, there's a grid that you can move your character, and it extends into the top screen, since this is a DS game.
Yep.
It is a combination of like Plants vs. Zombies with like almost twin stick shooter esque kind of thing, where you put the stylus on the bottom screen and you hold it there, and that's the direction that they fire in, and then you will move the character left and right to avoid stuff that's coming at you. And that's about all you need to know. There's like a bajillion different guns. They run you through like every single one of them in the tutorial. There was like a flamethrower, a laser, grenades, fucking this guy, his main attack was throwing shurikens or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. And the zombies looked like poop.
Nice.
And
well, it is DS. So
it was DS. Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely not what I was expecting. So I played that today.
For how long?
About 2 hours.
Wow. That wasn't the answer I expected.
Mainly just because I picked it up and I'm like, well, this is obviously what I'm going to play in between customers coming into the store. Because this will tie up my time just fine. Other than that, I actually started playing, I picked up a, or I borrowed a copy from the store of Kirby Triple Deluxe.
Nice.
And it is really fun. I attempted to play as much of it as I could with the 3D on. I made it about 7 minutes.
Nice.
And then my eyes started bugging out, so I turned it off. But it's fun. It's a really cool Kirby game. I like that there's like alternate attacks depending on what enemy you consume. Mm-hmm. I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
But yeah, it's cool. I'm digging it so far. I'm probably only going to be playing it for whatever spare time I have tomorrow, and then tomorrow at midnight I'll be playing Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be pretty amazing.
So that's pretty much all I'm excited with. Oh, and also, I finally got to try Skylanders. There was somebody that came into the store, was trying to get rid of it. He was like, I don't want to buy it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm like, I'll give you $5. They're like, yeah, sure. So I got a handful of figures in the first game and a portal.
Wow, for $5?
For $5.
Holy shit.
So I was just like, yeah, I'll give you $5. And they were obviously just like, yeah, I want a pack of cigarettes. So
my kid don't need this shit no more.
Yep. So I was like, you're lost, my game, thank you.
Pretty much.
Yep. And I took that home, and over the weekend where I had a couple, like a spare hour, because I've just been so goddamn busy, Jordan and I sat down and we were able to play it together, and it was fun. I dig it. I may end up getting into it a little bit. I don't know how much I really want to delve into it, because I know there's a new one coming out.
Yeah.
And
apparently the new one, even if you own previous figures, there's a lot of emphasis on having to buy new shit.
Yeah.
Which isn't cool, considering that the other games have been like, hey, if you have characters, you really don't need too much new stuff.
Right.
It'll help you, but apparently there's a lot of emphasis on getting as much of the new stuff as there is.
See, now, I think the thing that confuses me is like, all right, so if I buy a character from one of the older sets,
mm-hmm.
so like the Swap Force or the Giants or whatever,
yeah,
Can I use them in the first one?
No.
That's weird, because I feel like I was able to make some of them work.
It depends on which one it is. If it's a character that was in the first game and they just have a newer figure out, you should be able to.
Okay.
A lot of them will have like little boxes on them of like what they're compatible with.
Okay.
But if it's a character that's brand new to Giants, you can't play it in the first one.
Okay. All right. Because I was slightly confused as to how that stuff worked. Because yeah. I know they have like different color bottoms, right?
I think
like the discs on the bottom or the like the plastic on the bottom is a different color per whatever series it was that it came out. And I saw different colors on the bottoms of them, so I don't know.
I stopped with Giants when they started selling the Swap Force stuff where like you can mix and match how many different ones. I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I just don't care enough. And now that they have Trap Team, I care even less. But speaking of games with figures in them, I did bite on Disney Infinity 2.0 Marvel Superheroes. They were doing a deal where if you bought the starter set and then two other characters, you would get one free at Best Buy. And because of the Gamers Club, I didn't think that the Skylanders and Marvel stuff would actually qualify for the 20% off, but they did.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had $25 in reward certificates. So I got Disney Infinity 2.0 for the Xbox One. I also picked up Groot, Drax, and Venom.
Dude, how big is the fucking Venom?
It's pretty big.
It's so big.
It is nice sized. And then separately, we also picked up the Guardians of the Galaxy set. And I'm enjoying the game quite a bit, but I don't know if I've just been under the weather or if something with the game isn't working well with me. But the day I played it, I threw up 3 times.
Like, literally?
Yes. Like, I felt nauseous. My mouth started watering. I grabbed the trash can, and I threw up 3 times playing Disney Infinity 2.0.
In stores right now.
Yeah, in stores now, kids.
Go get it. That's so strange. Do you think it was something with the game?
I don't know because
did it look too real?
No, I have.
You're like, oh my god, it's like I'm actually there, bro.
This is so intense.
Some kind of covert Disney subliminal messaging.
I really don't know. I've never thrown up playing a game before. I have gotten somewhat motion sick depending on the game. Like Portal 2 made me motion sick.
I could see that.
Different. First-person games have made me motion sick. Watching other people play first-person games is almost guaranteed to make me motion sick. But I've never had an issue with, like, an action platformer. So I don't know if it was me just being under the weather and playing the game at the worst times, or if just something with it didn't set right with my brain and made me sick.
It doesn't set right with my brain.
I don't know. I couldn't understand it.
Because that's so
I even stopped for a few hours. I ate. Everything was okay.
And then as soon as you went back to it, and you're like,
happened again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. That's crazy.
I can't explain it. But the game was fun. And Ian lost.
And Ian's mad.
So if you heard, "Sir, fuck, son of a bitch," and some pounding.
He mad, bro.
That was him. He mad.
He mad.
But
yeah, the figurine games are interesting. I haven't played any of them, but I always thought it was interesting because I had no idea they existed until at one point somebody just clued me into them. And I remember thinking, I remember something from like 2000 or something. It was like a playset that my sister had. She got for her birthday or something. They had little figurines with magnetic bottoms, and on the computer screen, she could move them around like a little theater set. And they did things.
Oh my god,
that's...
I remember that.
I don't.
And so, like, I didn't play it. I didn't know anything about it. That memory got logged somewhere. And then it was so interesting seeing, like, Skylanders is so popular right now. And, like, all these kids are playing Skylanders. And I was, like, immediately thought, like, this technology has been around for so long, it just now blew up.
I know we've talked about the games before, and my biggest problem is how the prices just keep going higher and higher with these things.
Yeah, but to be fair, now, and this is the other reason why I was thinking about getting into it, I don't know if they're going to resell them, but during my last day of GameStop, they started accepting trade-ins on Skylanders figures.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know what the how good they pay on them. I'm assuming not.
I think the guy I talked to heard that like most of them are like $2-3, but some of the harder, rarer ones are like six to eight.
Because I mean, my one manager was bringing a bunch of hers in and trading them in.
Yeah, I'd love to see a price list for them because I have a bunch that. Don't
you're
get
just
touched.
Sitting on. Yeah. Well, you know, depending on how much Jordan and I get into them, maybe I'll buy a couple off you. But
plus, I have some legendaries. If you want to buy any, just like talk to me.
Legendaries.
I have the legendary, the Toys R Us legendaries, and they're gold colored, and oh my god.
I want all the black ones. I want the black ones that came out. With
you
are Swap
so
Force.
Fucking racist.
Fucking A right, I am.
I don't
black
have.
Ones are the
I don't
best.
Have anything from Swap Force.
Well, because there was one. What the hell was his name? He was like, we talked about this before. He was like it was the octopus with the soap.
He wouldn't work in the first game anyway.
Well, no, I want to get the other games when I'm done with them because the games are fun. They play like a regular platformer.
Yeah.
Almost like a mix of like a kind of like a Diablo esque kind of thing, but
I wouldn't say Diablo.
There's like a slight leveling up system, and there's. It's cool.
But it's not at all like Diablo. Gorgeous.
That's what I think.
But, yeah, some other games I've been playing. This week is a big week for games. As I have Shadows of Mordor.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And nice. Forza Horizon 2.
Both of those games are gorgeous.
Shadows of Mordor, I put like 2-3 hours into it already.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. The combat is like a more forgiving Batman.
That's what I've heard, and that's why I'm so fucking interested in it, because I loved the combat in the Batman game.
Like, the biggest problem with the Batman stuff is if someone's going to attack you and you don't counter it, there's nothing you can do. With this one, you could just attack them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's not like once they start an attack motion, you're screwed. Like, this one, you could be more offensive than having to play defense.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll probably love it then.
It's great when you get, like, a group of four of the orcs together, but once you hit an area where you're in, like, a stronghold and, like, 30 of them come after you...
That doesn't sound fun.
You're kind of fucked.
You're kind of fucked.
I've been killed a number of times. I've gotten my retribution a number of times. And I'm just having fun exploring and running around. But part of me just wants to just keep returning to Forza Horizon 2 because it's the most fun I've had with a racing game since Burnout Paradise.
I want it so bad. I want it so bad.
It's like a new Burnout Paradise without crashing.
Which that's okay.
It takes a little of the fun out. I mean, you could still smash into people, but you don't get points
for
it
with
takedowns.
But the level of customizability.
See, I don't do the customization stuff often in racing games.
I do.
So.
I'm a sucker for customization.
Yeah, I know you are. You're the guy who will spend 3 hours making your character in Tiger
I will.
Golf.
I will.
But,
yes, I will.
It's a huge, huge open world. The cars feel great to drive. It is gorgeous beyond belief. It might be one of the best games visually I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And everyone's like, oh, but it's only 30 frames per second. Who gives a fuck?
It looks fucking amazing.
On the flip side, the crew has a beta going out now, mm-hmm. a closed beta, and I've seen some footage of it online because I totally don't have it and I'm not talking about something I shouldn't talk about. That's something that runs 60 frames per second,
uh-huh.
but it's ugly. Like, it doesn't look as good as Forza. The controls, like, the car's just fishtail no matter what you're doing.
So it's like a Gran Turismo.
I never really played the Turismo games.
Worse? Wow.
But, the e-brake, you would hit the e-brake and you would just kind of like slide sideways instead of spinning around.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just not that fun.
That was the one thing that I had
because
against.
I saw all that in videos online that someone else put up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play it myself.
Sure. Yeah. Wait, Shadows of Mordor, what did that come out on?
It came out on new gen, PS4 and Xbox One.
I think it's out on PC as well.
Possibly. Yeah, it is on PC. And then it comes out, I think, later in October for 360 and PS3.
I think I'm just going to hold out and wait until I get an Xbox One and play it on there. Because then by that time, it'll drop down a little bit, and it's definitely a game I want to pick up. So, same thing with, I'm still holding out on Black Flag, because I figure like once I get a newer system, because I'm sure it's going to look great on a newer system.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to hold off, I'm going to wait, and I'm just going to get it on there.
Yeah, if there's any cross-generation games, hold out for the new generation.
Yeah.
Unless it's a sports game, because they don't care about you.
Well, either that, or I might get it on my PC. But because now... I got a Bluetooth adapter, and I got a really long HDMI cord, and a PlayStation 3 controller. So I'm going to try and see if I can set them up.
I will say that Shadows of Mordor isn't as visually impressive as I would have thought it would be.
Yeah.
Some of the things look great, but then there's other textures that just look really rough. Someone posted pictures of an Ultra HD setup with like super HD texture packs on the PC, and it looked insane.
Yeah.
But the console just doesn't look nearly as good as I expected it to be.
Well, then maybe I should pick it up on PC. I don't know.
If you could pull off like the super HD texture packs and everything else, I'd say I can go for it.
Oh, I can. It's not like I can run fucking Crysis, but whatever. Because fuck Crysis. But
yeah, it's still an awesome looking game.
Yeah, I want to play the fuck out of it, like, really, really bad.
Yeah. You could always try it after we're done recording.
I do have to drive an hour.
No. Do you want to be a pussy about it, or do you want to play a game?
I did work, like, 8 hours today.
And then over the weekend, I played a lot of Diablo, because
I'm so proud of you!
No, you'll be more proud of me for something else. Pappy... who was on the show last week, he stayed through the weekend, and we also had our friends Christy and Steph come visit, and now Ian's here now, so it's like I'm not allowed any privacy anymore. But Christy was interested in playing it because she has it for PC but never played it, so her and I started playing, and when Pappy showed up, he's like, nah, I played the first Diablo back in high school, and I just... I don't care about those games. I'm not interested in trying it out or playing with you. When he went home, he bought the game. Actually, before he went home, when I picked up Disney Infinity, he picked up the game because we all played it together. And even when you came down, I showed you my online friends. And it's like popular games right now. Diablo 3, one person online playing, Papateros.
Yep.
I'm like, are you proud of me?
I'm so excited, dude. And that's the thing. It's one of those games that, like, you can kind of, like, you can walk away from it, and then, like, once I pick it up, I guarantee you they'll be like, oh, yeah, let's play some more.
Yeah, let's go for it. Up.
Yeah. It's such an amazing co-op game. Like, it's just, and especially, like, the console version's a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah.
And for how much time I dumped into the PC version, like, obviously, level 70s of normal, of every character on normal, every character on hardcore, plus two seasonal characters, one normal, one hardcore. Paragon level 200-something on normal. Yeah. Paragon 200-something on hardcore. Like, I've dumped a lot of time into that game.
Yeah, you have.
And I'll still play it again when I get it on Xbox One.
Yeah, you will.
I will. So, it's just, it's a lot of fun. it's one of those games that, it's a...
What is it, the wizard in the game?
Yeah, the wizard.
Or the mage?
Yeah, the wizard.
The wizard is fucking baller.
He's broken.
That laser?
Yeah.
His laser attack is insane.
Disintegrate?
It's just a fucking laser that I assigned to the trigger. So I'm just like shooting my lasers and...
See, what you need to do
Or the bats from the... The witch doctor?
Yeah, the fire bats.
And the one perk where it has no channeling cost, so I could just sit there and shoot bats out of my fist forever.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, I am enjoying these other classes.
Yeah.
Because they are overkill in every way.
I will help you with your builds once I get it.
Corey, are you a Diablo guy?
I'm not. I played a little bit of one of the Diablo games, but I've never actually, you know, sat down and played it through or at really at all. Just for a short period, I played it once. But
well, if you pick it up on the Xbox One, you have a guaranteed group of friends who would like to play.
There you go.
Awesome.
Not sure what consoles you own, but
yeah, right now I've still got my PS3 trying to get the most out of it. I always feel like I've like not gotten the most out of my console before the next one comes out, because immediately I feel like, no, wait, I just wish there was backwards compatibility. Like, I would buy
a
PS4 right now if it had backwards compatibility. I've already gotten like two PS3s because I had the original PS3, which had the backwards compatibility and like the big space on it, and basically because it had a PS2 in it. But that one died, and then I got another PS3 that did not have the backwards compatibility, and I was just so frustrating not having that.
Wait, a Sony system broke? Shocking. If you ever go back and listen to our old episodes, you will notice that we are not huge Sony fans on this show. I have a very well-documented history of PlayStation problems, considering the fact I am on my fifth PlayStation 4.
Your fifth?
Fifth one.
What?
Yes. Because that of overheating, just heat issues, incredibly loud fan. I'm not a fan of the PS4.
Wow, that is definitely tainted my, I don't know, that's ridiculous. Like, I can't go through that kind of frustration.
And, and Joe, what number Xbox are you on?
I'm still on my first Xbox One. I am on, I don't even know what number Xbox 360 I'm on, but that's by choice, because I would always get like new designs,
fancier ones,
hard drive upgrades, this and that. I have only ever had one Red Ring. So
nice.
I know Red Rings are a problem. Like, when I talk about how many issues I've had with the PS4, everyone's like, Sony, no, that sounds like an Xbox issue. Because the only thing people remember is the most recent thing, which was the Red Ring, which is a well-known problem, which Sony or which Microsoft admitted to and addressed, where Sony have a long, long, long history of hardware defects that they pretty much lie about and, they deny there being any issue, despite the fact that even the PS2 had a class action lawsuit against it. And Sony ponies, which I have...
Sony ponies.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit, and now I love it.
Sony ponies.
They just defend them, saying... And everyone thinks Sony's perfect now, which I don't understand, but...
Yeah, I've pretty much had, like, no brand loyalty, so that always kind of, like, is, like, an off-putting thing to have.
Yeah,
like, I've never had any Xbox anything, but I've never made fun of anyone for having an Xbox because I haven't had one.
Yeah.
And I always think that's interesting how people tend to like trash the consoles they don't have and pretty much don't have the experience with them to trash them.
Yeah. The only consoles I'll trash are the ones I own that are garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've
Tiger R-Zone.
I wish I had one of those. Even still, I don't hate the PS4 because there's so many good reasons to own it game-wise. But
just if it worked.
Yeah, if it worked better. And even still, when it comes down to game selection, I'll stick with the Xbox One.
Yeah, I like the exclusives on the Xbox One.
Yeah, it might not have as high a resolution as PS4 games, but I don't give a shit. it's not about graphics. It's about games you enjoy, and more games I enjoy are on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
definitely...
I know when people talk about, like, but the graphics of a console, it's like, I'm not, like, one of the, PC Master Race type people,
but you.
I am aware that if I want, like, the highest possible graphics, I'm going to have to get it on PC.
Yeah.
So, and then at the same time, I still play, PS2 and PS1 games, like...
Yeah.
We'll routinely go bend back and pick those up, and it's not a turnoff that the graphics are polygonal.
Yeah,
if it's a fun game, it's a fun game.
Final Fantasy VII looks like dog shit now, but I'll still play that over 13.
me and Keaton picked that up a little while ago, played that again, and it was interesting because it's like, oh, Final Fantasy VII, you know, it's like most well-known Final Fantasy, you know, we're going to go back and play it, and it's like, oh my goodness, look
this
at these
the
triangles.
This is the ugliest shit on the planet.
No, the best was when... at the most recent MAGFest, it was like, I'm like, oh, I can't wait. They're going to do a No Mercy tournament. No Mercy is like the greatest wrestling game that ever came out. It's so amazing. And then I looked and I'm like, oh my God, this looks like fucking crap.
Is this
like,
Virtua Fighter 1?
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's I have
a huge soft spot for the Bloody Roar series of games. I had one of the Bloody Roar games on PS1 and then PS2, and I love those games. I'm a huge fighting game fan.
Nice.
But it's so funny when I go back and I'm like, man, you know, I feel like playing some Bloody Roar. You know, pull it out, and I'm like, I'll play through them all. You know, I'll play the first one. It's like, no, I can't even play the first one. I can immediately go to Bloody Roar 2.
This was a mistake.
The paper, it's like paper craft characters.
See, I have an easier time going back to Super Nintendo sprites than PlayStation 1 3D.
Absolutely, yeah. It's so interesting the way that works, and that's why when people trash a game, like when people were mad about Wind Waker being cel shaded, I knew some people complaining about it. It's like I already knew right then, like this game is going to age really well because of the way it looks.
Yeah,
and if you think about the games that were at like the cusp of best graphics, you know. From years ago, they don't look that great, you know? Yeah. So, you know, like, yeah. So, I mean, I'll still play, you know, pixelated games, and they're still easier than going back to low polygons.
Yeah, that's actually why I'm so happy about Borderlands, because Borderlands ages amazingly.
Yeah. It's always going to look that way, and everyone will always be able to, like, pick it up and see what's going on the screen.
Yeah. No, I love it. I can't wait for the new one. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
That comes out.
I'm excited for the Telltale Borderlands game.
Yeah, Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Son of a bitch.
They're getting into everything.
I forgot about that.
It's so great because, like, people, depending on the game, we'll hate the quick time event things, mm-hmm. but they're like so great story wise and just like interact. It's basically like the perfect interactive storytelling medium with different endings. Like because it's so heavy on those other aspects, like I don't even care at all. Like I'll play like any Telltale game. It's just, I love that.
Huh.
Walking Dead's been getting around lately too.
I really want to try that game
with the Telltale games. Survival Instinct, which is better left forgotten. They have the Overkill game coming. They just had the Pinball Table come out.
Uh-huh.
And some fun news, Zen Pinball and Pinball FX is going to be getting a South Park table.
Oh, that'll be great.
I think
I used to play the shit out of the South Park pinball machine.
I don't know if it's going to be the official one or not.
I hope so. Cool, I used to love that machine. That's like the only pinball machine I would actually like seek out. I'm like, oh, they have South Park Pinball? I'm there. It was that one, Austin Powers, and the T2.
Nice. Yeah, it'd be cool if they had the real one, but that sounds more like pinball arcade territory.
Possibly.
But either way, it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Because pinball is always fun.
He's a pinball wizard. So, music?
Email.
Yep. Fuck.
Can you guess who?
Zach.
Yes. Good guess.
I'm shocked.
Yep. We have two emails from Zach. If you would like to email us yourself, you can write to us at the smlpodcast@gmail.com. And we will read it on the air. And it doesn't matter what you write us because we read everything. Even spam. Anyway, Zach says, what's up, dudes? Just dropping a quick line to say I'm officially joining the next generation of gaming in November, and you'll be pleased to hear that we're getting an Xbox One.
Yay!
The wife played a few games at Digital Nations in New Zealand with me over the weekend, and after trying out Dying Light, the first thing she said was, so, want to stop on the way home and grab an Xbox One?
Dude, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Pumped. We're holding out until November because A, we're going on holiday at the end of October, so we're saving for that, and B, we are fully expecting Microsoft to announce a Halo Master Chief Collection Xbox One bundle for the holidays, and that's what we're aiming to grab. So, yeah, that's it. X-Bone, woo, thumbs up, high five, booty shake, twerk, twerk, twerk. I added the twerks, but we all know he was thinking that.
He was. He probably was.
And then he sent us a second one because it's Zach. This one might be interesting, though, because the title is Episode Zero.
Ooh.
Yeah. He says, so for shits and giggles, the other day I went back and listened to Episode Zero of SML again, which, quick note to our listener, please don't do.
please don't do that.
Unless you kind of want to taint your image of our show, which is shitty to begin with.
Yeah.
But we were really shitty back then.
I wasn't even on that episode.
No. No, I thought you were.
I thought I was on one. I was on the couch. I don't even think I was a part of it.
None of it matters. Anyway, he says, you remember back when it was the SML Vault cast over at the Gaming Vault? Hey, look, the other site we just burned bridges with. back when you didn't have theme music and you three introduced yourselves as small, medium, and large. Actually, no, I introduced myself as large. The other two are gone. So,
yep.
There was no Huber, but instead Bogue, and Tim didn't know how to pronounce his name. Bogue. He finally settled on Boog, as in he was going to booge all over the place. Yes, this was a magical time when Tim had grand designs of editing the hell out of each episode to make it as coherent as possible, and he actually said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I promise things won't go as off-topic next time, and we'll stay more on track. To which Joe replied with a hearty, yeah, right. And a year and a half later...
We're still there.
We are still as far off track as possible.
We're keeping it real. We don't want to be fakes. Haters.
You don't know us. We do what we want. We run with gangs. Every time you guys went off on a tangent, you'd bring it back by saying, so, THQ closed. And every time it was worth a good chuckle. And now we just say, Video games. Tim mentioned how he wanted to talk to next week about how he thinks the Xbox could effectively end the console wars for good. And Bogue talked about how he would happily spend $120 on a Voltron figure for himself, but we wouldn't even think about buying a $100 toy for his kid. All in all, it was a very entertaining look back. Thought I would share. Keep it up, boys. So, yeah.
Episode Zero.
Episode Zero sure was a thing.
Well, that was, a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Corey, that's your homework. Listen to Episode Zero.
Don't do that.
And then never join. And then decide to never join our show again after hearing that piece of dog shit. Also, go find Episode 24.
24?
Yeah.
24. Oh, 24. I have to think, because I don't know many of them by number.
Yeah, those are like the only ones I remember.
Yeah.
Episode Zero, the horrible one that was our first week, and then Episode 24, which doesn't exist, because that was the week Tim wanted or didn't want to come down, and that was the last time we gave a shit about Tim wanting to come down or not.
Yeah.
So we skipped an episode completely.
I used to know some of the other numbers.
Yeah. I still feel bad. Out of our entire series, we've only missed one episode, and it was Tim's fault.
God damn it, Tim.
We've even recorded with me in the hospital, which seriously, find that episode.
That one was
and
great.
Listen to it.
That one was fucking gold.
Yeah. that one is batshit insane.
I took a condenser mic into his hospital room and just recorded the entire room.
And, like, nurses would come in to check my blood pressure, and talking to them about games.
Yeah.
I'm like high on Dilaudid the entire episode.
You got blood work done at least twice.
Yeah. And every time someone would come and be like, don't worry, the mic won't pick you up. And the mic picked them up perfectly.
Clear as day.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's
it's perfect.
Funny. Maybe you should start a second podcast and just do the hospital podcast. And it's loosely related to gaming because you ask people in the hospital about gaming.
This show already is very loosely related to gaming sometimes.
Yeah. It all depends on the episodes. Because sometimes, you know what? There's slow weeks, man.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yep. There's very, very slow weeks where there's not much to talk about, so we kind of have to just pull something out of our ass.
And you, like, we'll sit here and just watch Twitch for 20 minutes talking about what's happening on Twitch.
Nice.
two guys watch Twitch and bullshit on a couch.
No one could see what we're watching, but we'll talk as if they can.
Basically.
Oh, man, did you see that?
Oh, it was great. Oh,
what the hell is he doing? What is he doing? Yeah. Oh my god. And then like 5 seconds of silence. Video game.
Video game.
Basically. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. Hopefully we'll be able to actually meet you in person in RL.
Absolutely.
And you were fun as hell to talk to, so let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, next time we'll figure out a time so that my co-director can come back. So we'll come back on the show. We'll come back on the show so Keaton can join us.
That sounds good.
He's working night shoots right now in Seattle, so I think he's filming some Nazis in the street or something right now.
So he's not dedicated to your documentary by bitching out on this, right?
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
Well, the thing is, we're both going broke making it happen, so we don't get mad at each other when one of us has to work instead of working on the film because we both need to eat and pay rent.
This interview could be the difference between getting funded on Kickstarter and
That's a lie.
It could. I didn't say it has any effect at all. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
There is the possibility. If after this we get definitive proof, I'll just make up definitive proof. I'll just tell him, you know, I found definitive proof that if you would have been on the podcast,
we would have
made $1 million the next day.
You son of a bitch. How could you just leave us alone?
That's funny. No, yeah, maybe we'll figure something out for when the Kickstarter actually is like completed,
and you can give us a status update on things, and
we'll have a recap, come back,
and hopefully we won't start 2 hours late.
Hey,
hopefully we'll still be doing it because my work schedule fucking blows now.
Hey, don't worry about it, man. Like I'm coordinating this kind of stuff is pretty hard. We totally understand the plight of scheduling across time zones and with other people. Like, coordinating with Keaton to get on podcasts is sometimes difficult because I'm 2 hours away in Ellensburg, Washington. He's in Seattle, Washington. And then we're also like, okay, what time zone is this podcast in? And we got to figure it out. And then maybe one of our sleep schedules flips so we're not awake in the daytime anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just started like a brand new job like a week ago. And I've worked like every day since I started that job.
And that job title is being Steve's bitch.
It's true. But the pay is good. The pay is really good.
So gotta do what you gotta do. I just like how it's always fun trying to set up interviews through Jason because I never like, or even someone we don't really know, just someone who's like, oh, hey, you should get in touch with this guy. Because I never know how like professional to sound around them. Like when you were running late, I dropped Corey an email. I'm like, hey, I want to apologize. My co-host has had a rough day with work and he got out late and we're hoping to be ready for 9. That's if traffic doesn't get really crappy and stuff like that. I'm trying to be really nice and polite. And now I'm like calling his co-director a bitch for not being here.
Basically. So- It's true. It's true.
How things change over the course of an interview.
You were also talking about fucking a couch.
Yeah. That's nothing different, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, who doesn't?
Well, I have a futon, so no.
Well, that's because you're weird.
That's also because it was free.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I need an apartment. Oh, I don't have a couch.
So, yeah,
what
documentary.
We'll do is, I'll tell Keith that it was the most professional thing we've done so far. And it was really comfortable because I didn't know what to say. They would make fun of me when I missaid a word, and I didn't know what to do. So just keep it together, Keaton. Don't embarrass us.
Like find a really complicated word in the dictionary and be like, they laughed at me when I mispronounced something. It's like they looked down upon me. They insulted me violently and repeatedly.
They said I used the word egregious incorrectly in a sentence.
Oh my god. And then he'll come on the next time. We're like, what's up, dickhead? Why weren't you here last time?
Keith, you have to wear a suit for the podcast. Is it like video? No, you just have to wear a suit. Wear a suit.
We'll be able to hear
your tie correctly. No clip-ons.
We'll be able to hear it.
They knew. I had a clip on and they called me out on it. I'm like, can you even see me? They're like, no, we just know your type.
somehow through the sound of my voice, they knew that I was wearing black shoes and a brown belt. I don't know how.
Then they insulted my mother. I don't know why. Like, she never even came up.
My mother's a nice lady.
I could feel my face getting slapped with a white glove through the audio.
Have at y'all.
You should tell him all this stuff and then just let him listen to this episode.
He'd be like, what the fuck?
God, like, these guys are assholes. Why did you do their show?
Jesus Christ.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever listened to.
It's possible.
Well, they got three people to kickstart us, so they're not that bad.
Ah, hey. Progress.
And two of them were the hosts.
Maybe. I really want that joystick.
Yeah.
that's the one that I was eyeballing the entire time.
Who knows? With us being on Bleeding Cool, given that this is about a movie project documentary, they might give a little more attention to this one.
Hopefully.
Because I know the harmonics episode got a lot of views over there.
Word.
Burrow. That's cool.
Cool.
I think they're kind of picky, but as long as it's a good subject, they're down.
Word. Like fucking couches. Nice.
Yes, fucking couches. Episode 86, couch fucking with Corey.
So I think we've got a song that Viking Guitar is doing
for the documentary, the title theme for it, I guess.
Yeah, he made the theme song for the second half of our trailer, and we're going to be including the film, but it's like, it's the coolest. You got to listen to it.
Yep,
anybody listening, go to Viking, or we could provide a link somewhere, I don't know, Viking Guitar's Bandcamp, the player score. He made this awesome song for us. You got to check it out.
Well, we play music at the end of every episode, so we are going
to
play that.
You're about to check it out.
Yeah. We've played him on the show a number of times before, too.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's really good people. He's good
people. And awesome. I figure for the other bit of music, since we usually do at least three songs anymore, it is A Rival's birthday. So we will celebrate with some music from A Rival.
Happy birthday, Luke.
We miss you, Luke. Come to our show, goddammit.
It's okay.
I'm still hoping to get Vert on before we hit 100.
Vert.
Yeah. Someone was like, hey, would you do our podcast? He's like, man, when I have time, I still owe my friend Joe a shot as well. So maybe we'll get Vert soon.
We'll see.
He could be our 100th episode extravaganza.
At MAGFest.
No, we're going to be like 102 at MAGFest.
I will specifically skip podcasts so that we could do it at MAGFest.
Nah, because if we have our choice of 100 being Vert or 100 being the live MAGFest one, I'll take Vert.
I will take Vert.
Because we don't even know if we are getting the mag panel yet.
That's true.
Hey, maybe you could just do like the Final Fantasy thing and like do weird sequels. So it'd be like 102.
Yeah.
But not 102.
Didn't we do like 85.5?
No, we did because I forgot to.
God damn it, Joe.
I know. The episode we did at the end of MAGFest 8.5 was going to be like 83.5 or something.
You son of a bitch.
I forgot.
You fucked up.
I know.
Well, maybe for, what is it? Maybe for the release of Grand Theft Auto 5 on next-gen consoles.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll do 95.5. Maybe it'll work out that way.
So, hey, Ian, do you have any final words before we wrap things up here?
This is why the Mongols invaded China.
All right.
Okay.
So that was Ian's contribution.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
God damn it.
Thank you.
So for Corey's conversation corner to end the show,
I forgot about that.
You did, didn't you?
I did. I legitimately forgot about Corey's conversation corner. Corey's actually going to be hiring me to do a drum track on one of his I guess he's doing like a punch out
nice.
Medley.
We'll have to get him on here to not talk about that.
Yeah.
we had an episode where we had Kaylee Bristol, a speedrunner, on the show to talk with us, and we had another friend, Corey, who we pretty much just met, who put out a brand new remix EP, and we had him on to talk about that, and he was pretty much quiet 90% of the show. So we would keep telling him, like, Corey, shut the fuck up. Let these other people talk. He's like, and then at the end, we were like, Corey's Conversation Corner will return next week. And for a few weeks, we were just like, sorry, we didn't have time for Corey's Conversation Corner. We'll get to it next week. And then we just kind of dropped the joke.
People are going to think it's like when they have a TV show and then they unscrupulously replace the character with another actor. And then now there's this new Corey that's come on the show.
Yeah, you're Corey, too. And it was with a K as well.
It was,
so,
yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Because Corey's Conversation Corner was all Ks.
Of course.
Because why wouldn't it be? So, yeah.
So, Corey, do you have any last words for our listeners?
My last words. I have to think hard about these.
Yes, they're very important.
All right, well, I guess I would say a big thank you to everyone out there supporting and to everyone out there who's just found out about the Player Score video game music documentary. Please check out our Kickstarter campaign. Help us get to MAGFest or help us get even farther and help us get to Japan. But regardless, check out the film. There's a lot of awesome people working on it, a lot of really talented, really passionate people in the film. So go check it out.
That wasn't funny enough.
That was was a little too serious.
That was like heartfelt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let us explain.
Check
this.
Out my movie.
we'll
check
explain
out
it quick.
The movie or something. And butts.
Okay. Here's how it goes. We ask people for their last words, and then they say something short and quick and funny, and we immediately go to music, which is usually like a quick abrupt change. What did Henry say when he was on, like, go fuck yourself, twats?
Something like that. I don't remember. I know, there was the acoustic rendition of the one that you did, actually, that literally just ended just like, fuck off.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a last word into music. That was our horrible attempt at music for the week.
Oh, that's right.
Usually when we have a guest on, we'll either tell them to fuck off or they'll tell us to fuck off and it goes right to music. But we're going to let you be free to do what you want to do.
Okay, I got it.
So are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, take two. Chris, go.
Corey, do you have any final words?
And cue the Corey.
Learn the word egregious, fools.
We'll be right back.
Take three, Chris.
Do you have any final words, Corey?
Cue the Corey.
Hashtag butts.
Yes.
Break your neck, player. Break your neck, player. Break your head until you start to break your neck. it all now. Let's put it down, play up. When I bounce back and you know what, I'm top of my breath. Y'all all know how we do when the way we bang in the head and we do it to death. Reach for that box, boy. The fireball, you know we making an ounce. You know you love the way we be giving you the music, making you bounce. And hook it up just a little from a every time we come through. Know that we need to be all the way we give it to the people. Know that we always give it to y'all. I said bounce. In the daytime of the night when you're creeping along and you bang this in the truck and you break your neck. When the people trying to figure my flow, see the way that we come right through.
I get the feeling sometimes that I'll be watched by something outside of this world. I guess it's all in my mind, but I swear I hear a voice in the sky. I listen closer to see if I can hear the words that seem to be calling my name. Oh, I know that to think I'm spacing out, but I know the clock is ticking down. 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah.
Pepper pitch.
I'm gonna grab the mic when Parker's playing, and when he does a combo to someone, I'm gonna sit here on the back.
Like, what the fuck?
Is it?
and then you have to watch the fucking unblockable on the incoming when the next character come out, and then you hear the
Pepper Pitch, Pepper Pitch, Pepper Pitch, Pepper Pitch.